Hello and welcome to the final episode of our special little season of the Teach Languages Online podcast. I am Lindsay from Lindsay Does Languages, and this is a big one. I'm excited to talk about this. We're going to be talking today about what's holding you back from teaching online. But first, a quick reminder that if you have not yet joined the waitlist for the Online Teaching Starter Kit, now is the time. In September 2022, it will be opening back up again with some very exciting updates and bonuses. And you don't want to miss it. You can join the waitlist at lindsaydoeslanguages.com/OTSK. The link is in the show notes as well. And it's Lindsay, LINDSAY. And I look forward to chatting with you more about that very soon. But for now, what's holding you back from teaching online? If you've ever thought about teaching online, but you haven't done anything about it yet, you're really not alone. There are a lot of reasons that people don't get started on this path. So some people don't know where to start. They're afraid they won't be able to find a course platform, or they're worried it will be too hard to create their own material. Others are afraid nobody will buy their course, or worried about the tech and how much time it's going to take. Well, today we're going to look at a few of these potential reasons holding you back from teaching online, and we're going to talk a bit about how to overcome each of them. So, the first one, it's hard to get started and you don't know what platform to use. So, you want to start teaching online, great, but where do you begin? Oh, overwhelm. There are so many different platforms and so much information out there about them that it can be really, really overwhelming. How do you choose the right platform for your needs? Well, there's a few key questions that you want to consider. First, decide what type of service or products you want to offer. Do you have a course? Do you want to teach one-on-one or in groups? Will your students be able to access your materials anywhere, or do you need something that will only work on certain devices? Once you've decided what type of platform is right for you, it's time to then think about how much money and time you're willing to then invest in building your online teaching business and developing your presence on this platform. So, the next thing is to consider any payments to these platforms. Will you be able to pay for the service with a monthly subscription, or will you have to buy it outright? Is there an option for one-time payment? How much support is available if things go wrong? And once you've got these questions answered, it's time to then choose your platform. We're really then narrowing things down. Personally, I like Teachable for course hosting, Heartbeat for community, and Zoom for live calls, but there are plenty of options, so it's really best to figure out what suits your needs. Learn how they connect to other tools you use as well, so like email marketing systems. Some platforms have integrations built in with other tools and some don't. So it's a good idea to make sure that your platform has all of the features and functions that you want before signing up. And Zapier is a really great tool for connecting one to another as well. It's not easy for you to create course material. If you want to teach online, then it's important you know the subject well and that you can explain it in a way that makes sense, right? You also want to make sure that your course material is engaging and easy to follow. So if we're thinking more so in terms of digital products, you may want to start with a shorter course so you can get more experience teaching before taking on larger projects, like a huge, huge course. The good news is there's plenty of tools out there to help you create your course material. So you could go slide style. You could use PowerPoint or Keynote to create slides, which can then be presented via video or even converted into an ebook if that is something that you prefer. You could also use a tool like Zoom or Loom. It's just a coincidence that they rhyme, to record yourself explaining certain topics in detail and then edit the video to make it more concise. And, you know, as nice as it is to have a high quality video made with proper studio lights and well edited, the most important thing is your content. So you need to make sure that your content, first and foremost, is engaging and interesting, because if it's not, then no amount of professional video production will help you. That said, if you are going to use video, it is important to note that although it's not the be all and end all, the quality of your production does matter to an extent. Because the more professional your videos look and feel, the better they're going to be received by the audience. So you want to figure out, based on that, how comfortable you are with video. Is it that you want to create your course material with a different format, like audio or text or, you know, PDF, something else? Figure out the easiest way for you to deliver your course material and content. And perhaps it means that the first time you share something, you host it live, and then you use the recording for the permanent course content, which kind of takes down that pressure of perfection a little bit. Maybe it means that you do use video, but only for certain sections of your course. You get to decide what your course material is going to look like so that it can be easy for you to create. You lack the time and energy needed to create and build a successful online school. The first question I have for you, what's the rush? The best online business owners I know have built their businesses steadily. I've been doing this for over a decade now, and I've seen many businesses come and go because they tried to build and grow too quickly. More often than not, that doesn't work. So figure out how much time and energy you can devote to building your business on a regular basis. The only way to do that is by creating a schedule and sticking to it. So make sure you're getting enough sleep, eating right, taking care of yourself so that you have the energy necessary to do the work. Your online school needs more than just content. A lot of people think if they create videos or a podcast or a blog, their audience will magically come flocking in droves. And unfortunately, that's not how this works. And it's exactly why content creation is just one unit of six in the Online Teaching Starter Kit. It's not the whole thing. You know, with members of the program, I don't focus on if you build it, they will come advice. We cover the whole spectrum of factors that you need to consider to build your successful online business. And step one is, in terms of time and energy, step one is making time to take action on each lesson in the Online Teaching Starter Kit in turn. And if you can do that, you have the time and energy needed. The technology is overwhelming and there are way too many options available. So you're overwhelmed by the thought of what you could do with your online course or lessons. You see other teachers using video, audio, text chat, live stream, and so much more. And you want to make sure that your students are getting the best possible experience for their money. So you want to try it all. But how do you know what's right for you? Well, the answer is simple. You use what works best for you. Much like with course materials, when we're thinking about lesson time as well, look at what tools are available to you right now. See which ones would work well with your style of teaching, you know, rather than trying to adapt yourself into something new because someone else told you to do it that way, or just because there are many options out there for how to teach, that doesn't mean that you have to do them all. And if you're still stuck on this, I have a new quiz to help you figure out what's next in your online teaching business. So I'll leave the link to that in the show notes. And that should just give you a bit of direction to help if you're thinking, oof, where do I begin? What do I make? How do I teach? You're afraid that nobody will buy your course. You have to have faith in your skills and in your knowledge. You need to believe that you are an expert on the subject matter, and you must trust that people will want to learn from you. This isn't something that is learned overnight. It can take years of experience and self-doubt before you start to really believe in yourself as an educator. When I first started teaching online courses, I didn't think anyone would want what I was creating because I'd never taught online before. And the thought of sharing what I know with other people was kind of intimidating because it was this uncharted territory for me, right? But now it is my favorite thing. I love making courses, making workshops, making whole programs that teach people the knowledge that I have and that I've acquired and that do so in the right way for me. And besides, nobody will buy your course if it doesn't exist. So the best thing that you can do is to get your idea out into the world and see what happens. You don't have enough confidence in your skills or in yourself. You don't need all the letters after your name to be ready to teach online. As long as you're honest with students about your experience and qualifications, the one thing that you do need more than anything else is confidence. When you've got that, then you're golden. But, you know, much like the last point as well, that's not to say that getting it is always easy. It's also important to know that sometimes things won't go according to plan, and that's okay. When this happens, take a step back, See if there's any way to improve what went wrong or prevent similar problems in the future. And a lot of times this means asking yourself questions like, what do I need help with? How can I fix my mistakes? And the more that you move forward and actively do the work, the more your confidence will grow. You're not sure how or where to find students. Well, while you can't control how the universe will bring your perfect student to you, there are some things that you can do to attract the right ones for your online teaching business. So marketing, which we talked about last episode, is a crucial part of any business, and it's no different when it comes to teaching online. If no one knows about your courses, then no one will take them. So it's important you've got a plan in place for marketing yourself and your offerings. The first step is getting yourself a website with an easy to navigate layout that showcases what makes this particular course special, what makes you special compared with others out there on the web. And once that's done, if you want to, then comes social media, then comes other elements of marketing as well. It could be email lists, sending out newsletters, and you know, email list is going to require subscribers who want info. And finally then blogging, which gives you something to email. And then, like we discussed last time, reaching out to other people's spaces, to other people's audiences, and finding those right people in the right places. Personal privacy concerns are preventing you from teaching online. So maybe you're a bit worried about revealing your personal information. You've seen too many stories about hackers stealing credit card numbers or posting people's private photos on the internet for everyone to see. And it's understandable if this is a concern for you. Although there are many ways to, you know, do the best you can to keep your information safe, I can't guarantee that this will never be an issue. It could be. But remember that when it comes to your online business, you decide what information you want to share. You want to talk about your family? Do it. You don't want your kids brought into the online space? Don't do it. You get to create the boundaries regarding personal privacy. And that is it for this episode. So if any of those things resonated, if any of those have been holding you back from teaching online, let me know. We can talk about this some more. You can drop me an email, Lindsay, L-I-N-D-S-A-Y, at doeslanguages.com. And remember to join the waitlist for the online teaching starter kit. You can do that now at lindsaydoeslanguages.com/OTSK. We talk so much about all of these sorts of things, these concerns that come up in our monthly live calls. And it's a really great chance to get these questions answered in a real, like, comforting and supportive and safe environment where you know you're not going to be judged harshly. People are all there for the same reasons. I think that is it. I am so looking forward to sharing everything that is coming up with the online teaching starter kit with you. And like I say, now is the time to get on the wait list. This is our final little episode in this season, and I hope that you've enjoyed. If you haven't already, do go back and have a listen to previous episodes of the podcast, because we've got a few now. It's been a couple of years of episodes, kind of various seasons at various points. So there's a few episodes there, and you can subscribe for new episodes too. And of course, be sure to tell a friend, because as we said in the last episode, word of mouth is still a wonderful thing. All right, I will leave you here for today, as you were. Have a wonderful rest of your day, and thank you, and I'll speak to you soon. Bye.